This is Marilyn Kleinberg-Niemark, and I'm with Dalit Baum. She's with the Coalition of Women for Peace and responsible for a project called Who Profits? Dalit, for years, we've heard various groups calling for boycotts. We've heard calls for divestment, and they've been modestly effective. Your group, Who Profits, has a much broader and deeper analysis of the impact of economic activities on the occupation.
Yes, the Coalition of Women for Peace is an Israeli organization. And as such, we are very aware of the fact that the Israeli economy as a whole is somewhat involved in the occupation. For years, it has used captured resources from the Palestinian land to Palestinian labor and so on. Being an Israeli organization, we work from within, and we are very interested in learning more about how to be more effective in stopping the occupation. And so we started looking into the economic dimension of the occupation. We wanted to know what are the economic interests, what are the corporate interests, in order to be able to influence them. So we started out by mapping the different economic interests that we could find out. We came up with three different areas of involvement. And each one of them requires a different mode of action from activists around the world.
Can you describe each of those dimensions?
People are very aware of the settlement industry inside the occupied territory, mainly in the West Bank, but also in the Golan Heights and in East Jerusalem. And they have several industrial zones, about 14. Three of them are really big. And several industries there, some of them export. I think people are more aware of those. And for years, there were different initiatives to boycott settlement products.
What are the kinds of products that are produced?
It's actually really surprising to find out that this industry is quite small. And most of it is very local, even though they do export most of their products. Things like materials for diapers. Pampers buys the material for the sanitary pad and diapers, at least some of it, from a company in the West Bank in the settlement. There were recently several campaigns, very successful ones, about companies that also have ownership in Europe. So, for example, Assa Abloy, a Swedish lock company, a giant corporation, owns a factory in Barkan Industrial Zone near Ariel in the West Bank. They have announced they will move it, and they actually even said that they didn't know it was in the occupied territories and they are sorry about it. It was very amazing. The same is true with another small factory that makes food products called Bagel and Bagel, also in Barkan, owned partially by Unilever. And Unilever has recently announced they will just try and sell it. This is all the product of campaigns in Europe. Of local campaigns in the Netherlands and in Sweden. But there aren't that many such industries, especially not many that have ownership abroad like these two. But when we look at the settlement industry, it includes much more than just settlement products. It includes also real estate deals. It includes firms that build the settlements or build the road ways leading to the settlements. It includes various service providers that provide services to the settlements in such a way that makes them part of Israel, that actually effectively annex them to Israel while cutting off all their Palestinian neighbors from the same services. So we can look at public transportation. The big public transportation firms in Israel reach each and every tiny little outpost in the West Bank. Of course, they do not provide this service to the Palestinian population. So it's a very intricate apartheid system, in effect, which includes many parts of the Israeli economy. Israeli banks that have branches in Israeli settlements, Israeli banks that finance building in these areas. So the settlement industry is much, much wider than just settlement products. And it can include various international firms as well. Especially if I go into the other areas of involvement in the occupation, you see that some of these companies are registered both in Israel and abroad. Some of them, when they go and become larger, they start selling abroad and then they start opening branches abroad. The economy is global.
We've talked about the settlement industry, both products produced within settlements and products and services provided to settlements and that integrate the settlements into Green Line Israel. What are the other categories?
There are two other categories. One category, which we call structural profit, or we call it economic exploitation, has actually most of the profit. Looking at this category, we see that the entire Israeli economy actually profits from the occupation. For many years of specific policies imposed on the Palestinian economy to make sure it will not be a competitor, to make sure that we can exploit Palestinian labor, resources, and so on. So this category is really hardest to do anything about, because many times the companies and corporations involved in this category are just benefiting from the existing situation of the occupation. For example, captive markets. Most of the Israeli food industry these days controls the Palestinian market, because Palestinian producers cannot really move their products through the checkpoints. All import and export to Palestine goes through Israel. This is part of the Paris Accords, the agreements with the Palestinian Authority. So in fact, Israel controls all the flow of goods in and out of the Palestinian territories. And it does so to the benefit of the Israeli economy and the Israeli producers and so on. We can pick specific companies to make such examples, but actually, there isn't much we can tell these companies. What are we going to tell them? Don't sell your dairy in the West Bank. Of course, we want them to sell the dairy in the West Bank, but we want to note that they are making a profit from this situation because there is no competition. Many times, a company selling basic utilities to the Palestinians, and the Palestinians are totally dependent on Israel for basic utilities and also basic food products, anything from gas and water, electricity, even rice and sugar has to come from Israel. So if you're selling these to the Palestinians and there is no competition, sometimes when the Palestinians cannot pay for basic utilities, the Israeli company can just charge them through the Israeli authorities, because Israel collects taxes, customs for the Palestinian for products brought into the Palestinian territories. This is an unfair advantage because a company can charge whatever it wants to. Looking at one company specifically, Dor Alon, or the Alon Group, they have the monopoly over all the petrol supply to the Gaza Strip. In the recent 2 years, during the blockade of Gaza, they cut the supply of petrol into Gaza. So you have a commercial company that uses its supply as a kind of a military tool, or even, a collective punishment tool against civilian population. I don't think they are making any profit from cutting their sales. Of course not. In fact, maybe they are even losing money. But it is to be noted that this control over all the supply of utilities is not only of commercial value. Dor Alon has a lot of assets in the U.S. They own a whole chain of petrol gas stations in the U.S., in Texas. I think they are called FINA. And also, they own the biggest chain of 7-Eleven stores in the U.S. So, and I think they also are involved in construction projects. So they have a lot of business in the U.S.
This is Marilyn Kleinberg-Niemark with Dalit Baum. She's responsible for a project called Who Profits? Dalit, there's a third category.
The third category, this is the category of the highest growth economy inside Israel, which is security industries. Especially now with the war on terrorism and after 9/11, the Israeli technologies of surveillance and control of population became very, very popular worldwide. And we see companies selling their expertise on how to deal with Palestinians in checkpoints, selling it all over the world. We have companies like Elbit that built the technology in some of the apartheid security separation wall, fence, whatever you call it, on the occupied land, now building the wall on the U.S.-Mexico border. You have companies selling high-tech equipment of analyzing pictures to detect terrorists that brag in their websites about having tested their equipment on Palestinians in the Gaza checkpoint. Just the fact of them being Israeli already gives them some edge in this very competitive market in saying that they have more experience dealing with these things. We are not actually investigating the arms trade. It's too big for us. But we are looking into civilian companies and high-tech companies and anything from the small company that has a little patent that is used in order to detect potential terrorists by looking at their body language, all the way up to big companies like HP or EDS that sold the systems to the military checkpoints in the West Bank. And I think it's important that people know about it.
You actually did a lot of on-the-ground work in order to get the information you have on the website.
Our being on the inside, being Israeli, speaking the language, being able to move around freely in the settlements, is a great advantage for such work. We went to all the industrial zones in the settlements. We took pictures. We wanted to find out what's actually there. We go to the checkpoints. We cross the checkpoints. We take pictures wherever we can in order to actually see the equipment which is installed there. And we put those pictures on our website. And we found out that many times companies that are located in the settlements are registered elsewhere. Many of these companies, they have addresses inside the Green Line and they market from them. And so nobody can know that they are there unless they actually go there and see them there. We found out things that are also on the opposite. Companies registered there are no longer in existence and still written in all these lists of settlement products, but they are long gone. There is no way around it. You have to go there. You have to see things with your own eyes. I'll give you an example. There is a big corporation that provides security services in Europe called G4S. It's a Danish company, I think. They own a big subsidiary here in Israel called Hashmira. And when Israel privatized the main checkpoints, Hashmira didn't give an offer to the tender. And Hashmira is a big company here. So we assume this is because it has European ownership. On the other hand, when we crossed checkpoints and took pictures, we found out that some of the scanners used in the checkpoints, which we consider to be part of the construction of the checkpoint, which is a military installation used against Palestinian occupied population. And we took pictures and then we investigated. And we found out that the same company, Hashmira, actually also works in importing this equipment and selling it to the checkpoints. So you see, bidding for this big tender of operating the checkpoints was too high profile for them, maybe. On the other hand, being involved in the checkpoints is still possible even by supplying equipment.
The website, whoprofits.org, provides huge amount of information of the sort that you've been describing in our conversation. And it suggests that a strategy, for example, of boycotting specific products may not be a bad strategy, but that there are other strategies as well. Can you talk about some of the range of activities that one might derive from examining the website?
Our organization is a political organization. The Coalition of Women for Peace is a very large coalition of 10 different feminist peace groups in Israel. Our main idea of why we went into this project to begin with was to be able to learn better how to stop the occupation. That's what we're trying to do. On the other hand, the project that I'm coordinating, Who Profits, is really a fact-finding exploration, which we think will be a useful thing for the movement. But as we learn more and more about the economic aspects of the occupation, we see that more than one strategy is actually needed here. And we really see that many of the more effective campaigns used different strategies. Just raising public awareness about some things was sometimes effective enough. We heard about companies in Europe that were just approached by civil society in their countries and were told about the implications of actually holding a factory in the West Bank, in a settlement, in an Israeli settlement. What does it mean? What are the labor practices that they have to use if they are there, when they employ Palestinians that have no political rights? They have no civil rights, they have no political rights. There are no labor rights, of course, in that situation. In our project, we don't call for one specific action. We do use the information in order to support specific campaigns. On the other hand, there is a general call for boycott, divestment, and economic action against the occupation that was issued by the Palestinian civil society. It's really not our place as Israelis to call for it. Palestinian civil society in 2005 has issued a call for boycott, sanctions, divestment in very wide terms. We are trying to respond to that specifically by doing what we can from the inside. And from the inside at this stage, we thought we needed more information.
How is it possible to keep this list current?
We are not really professional researchers. This is a grassroots effort. And we have a few dozen people around the country that know about us and send us information, and then we have to go places and so on. Most of the work is activist work, volunteer work. And so we try and all the time collect all the information that people send us and then try and confirm it and use all the resources we can find in order to collect actual hard proofs for everything that we publish, because we want to be safe about it. That means that we have many more companies in our database that we can publish anything about. We have about 1,000 companies that we are looking into, but the online database has currently about 200 only, because for these 200 we could actually build a case. So we're trying to be very, very careful. This is a challenge because many times we come across information that comes from abroad or comes from newspapers and information that we cannot really prove. Many of the deals involving the Ministry of Defense are not public information. The things we can see with our own two eyes are very limited. So the online database is very partial. The information that we publish is very partial. Everything is only updated to the point of when we got the information, and we try and make that clear online. We try and make people also become agents of that. We want people to notice that this is not a complete database, and so they can go on and investigate on their own. Especially when it comes to companies' operations overseas, we have no information about that. So, you know, take our lists and try and find out what these companies are doing in your country.
This is Marilyn Kleinberg-Niemark. I've been talking with Dalit Baum about a project of the Coalition of Women for Peace. You can find out more about it by going to whoprofits.org on the web. Thanks, Dalit, for joining us today on Beyond the Pale.
Thank you, Marilyn.